Assalamu alaikum everyone and welcome back to Vortex of Truth. My name is Niamat Rawabi and I am delighted to have you join me on this Friday afternoon. Vortex of Truth is a show where we use fiction as a tool to spark empathy and create questions in the minds of our listeners as to what they themselves would do were they in the situations that our characters find themselves in. We also cover stories that should serve as mild warnings or help to explain and allow listeners to understand the struggles that other people go through. Today, we'll be discussing a fairly sensitive topic, pain, and why so many people seem to think that their pain is invalid or should not be healed. Now, before we start, just to make one thing very clear, we are not encouraging or advocating for people to focus on their own pain to the exclusion of everything and everyone else in the world. What the show is trying to address is the mentality that if someone else is in more pain, you cannot feel your pain and somehow your pain is less valid than it was before you knew that someone else was in pain. There will always be someone else who is in more pain than you are. That doesn't magically make you better, though. Now, I'm not talking about being ungrateful here. That's an entirely separate issue. But I've found for some reason that there's a mentality towards shaming when people talk about their pain, and that's incredibly counterproductive. As one of the people that I have been following on Instagram has been saying, pain is not a competition. That's something that we talk about. That's something that a lot of mental health professionals talk about. That's something that a lot of people who are experiencing mental illness and shaming talk about as well. But it's still not the prevalent mentality. There are still a lot of people who think that someone else is in pain, and so they're in more pain than you are, and so it's ungrateful for you to experience your pain and to want sympathy. That's entirely not true. Yes, other people are in more pain than you are, most likely. Other people are dying, other people are being oppressed, other people are being tortured, but your tests are your tests. They're what Allah has designed for you, and they're very hard because pain is difficult to deal with. And so being kind and compassionate, not just to others, but to yourself too, is vital in order to be able to heal and recover properly. We're going to look at what happens when you are not allowed to heal and recover. And like last week, we're going to go through a blog post first and then jump into a sketch. This blog post is very simply titled, Sickness. Here we go. I hate getting sick. I hate the ache at the back of my neck that never seems to go away. I hate spending so much time sleeping or functioning at less than my best simply because my head is pounding and my eyes hurt or I can't breathe properly or my stomach is turning over or everything. I was a sickly child and as an adult I get sick fairly often. I don't have a chronic illness and there's no one thing that I can point to and say, here, this is what's broken. This is why I'm sick. I have a reason. Instead, there's just a laundry list of little things that seem to crop up over and over again, and it's rarely enough to have me entirely out of commission for more than a day. I don't have a real disease, like I said. I'm just prone to picking up issues. I've said so many times that I wish I could simply trade my body in for a new one. Alhamdulillah, I don't feel like that too often. I don't really feel like I have a body often. And perhaps that's a subconscious effort to dissociate from what can feel like a broken shell for me. Perhaps I'm simply absent-minded. I don't have a good relationship with my body for various reasons, and I don't feel much attachment to it either. This is the form that my soul has been encased in, and not much more. At least that's how I'm prone to think of it. I don't believe that's normal, and it most likely isn't the truth. My body is a part of me, no matter that it's not my favorite part of me. The hardest thing for me, I think, is to lose control, and the illusion of control over my body is shattered when I get sick. I haven't chosen to be ill, and yet I am. It's a sign that I'm never going to be able to have things exactly as I like, and as I want them, because life simply doesn't work that way. And yes, uncertainty is an unavoidable part of our lives, but this particular truth is one that I have tried very hard to not look too closely at. It's strange when I look outward at the lack of control that I have, when outside events don't go as I want them to, or when I don't get what I want, it feels like a comforting reminder of the truth of my existence, that we are all at Allah's mercy, and only by that mercy does good happen to us. But when I look inward, I just feel feel uncomfortable and powerless and strange. It's hard for me to admit to being sick now. I've been conditioned to expecting probing questions and disbelief because how can I be sick again? Can I really be that bad? I don't look that bad. I just was sick after all, so there's no real reason for it, and perhaps it's simply that I'm looking to shirk work. At least that's what people think. Some variation of those kinds of thoughts are what I was up against when I was still in school, and while that has changed, because no one can really doubt me when I still take myself to work despite being sick, at least out loud, I still feel impatient with myself, and I still feel guilty, because surely other people have it worse, but I'm still complaining. I feel very impatient with myself, and sometimes that manifests as me refusing to go to a doctor or to take medication and leaving my immune system to handle things by itself. The medication does help when I let it, but it feels like a waste. And doctors help too. Perhaps not always, but when they can figure out what's wrong, they're quite great. But still, I'd rather not take it. I know that it'll take longer for me to recover without medication, but I don't want to take the medication. I don't want to keep taking medication. It feels like I'm wasting it. And recently, I've been what I would have called burned out, but I still kept working. I stopped doing as much as I could, even though I felt guilty about it, because I'd made commitments. I still did it, though, because I had to, and then I kept working, and I didn't get better. I didn't get better until I finally gave in and took some sick leave. And that also made me feel quite bad because other people then had to pick up the slack for me. I have allergies. I'm a high-strung person. And I have a problem with the back of my neck. I'm pretty often tired. And I usually just want to lay somewhere quiet half the time. I've been ignoring all of those things and thinking that they'll just go away if I ignore them. And some of that is probably because of the mindset that everyone has created in society that you should go to work when you're ill, you should not listen to your body, and you should push, even though your body is trying to tell you that you should stop, because you need to show your loyalty and your commitment to work. I don't know if everyone thinks that, but I do know that when I got sick right after I'd gotten my job, I was warned to not take sick leave. By friends, by loved ones, by everyone. I know people who pride themselves on having never taken a sick day. When I was at a high school where children came in sick and spent the day miserable, basically just sleeping at their desks for the day, those children were praised for their commitment and their good work ethic. And they were praised for not being ungrateful. And I think we're told that a lot, that we need to be more grateful, we need to stop complaining about the little things that are wrong, but are they really that little? This mentality makes me wonder about praising the fact that someone is there, even if they can't function, and clearly need to just be in bed recovering. Do we really just care about having a body in a space, about ticking off that checkbox? I really hate getting sick, and I hate talking about it even more, and that's just not okay. And that's the end of that sketch. That's the end of that blog post. Alright, so let's unpack that. A very unhealthy relationship with illness and weakness. But why? Partially because of the lack of productivity, and a lot because everything is meant to be alright. When you think that other people have it worse, and they still manage to work and do amazing things, you begin to feel guilty for not being more productive and for being kind to yourself and being lazy. There's no laziness, of course. So how do we fix that? How do we fix the guilt when we take care of ourselves because we've been taught that taking care of ourselves is not actually a good thing? Very simple answer. We reframe the way that we think about suffering, both our own and other people's. the person who's being oppressed, who still has to work when they're miserable and ill and terrified for their life. We pray that may Allah make it easy for them. And we tell ourselves, Alhamdulillah, for being able to be kind to our own bodies, as Allah has said we should be, because our bodies have rights over us. We need to change the conversation around sickness. We need to change the idea that it's a good thing to remind people that other people have it worse. I get where all of these well-meaning people are coming from. I get the idea that you should be aware of your blessings. You should count them. You should take them to heart. You should always be grateful. You should never be ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that way lies a lot of trouble. But this is not really the time and place, I would think. When someone is sick, they need comfort and they need caring and they need to make themselves better. It's not helping anyone for you to say, other people have it worse, so let me not take advantage of medication. Other people are starving, so let me not eat food. That's not how we work. We take what we need and we work as hard as we possibly can to make things better for those people who don't have what we have. We give to charity. We raise awareness. We share whatever we can. We don't deny ourselves, because denying ourselves doesn't always mean that anybody else gets anything better. When you're not eating, you're not giving that money to someone, you're not giving that food to someone else to eat. You're just feeling guilty and grasping at straws trying to figure out what you can do. And yes, there are a lot of people who we can't help by ourselves, and in that position, we help with dua. Dua is the weapon of a believer, that we say that all the time. And so that is what we need to do. We don't need to punish ourselves for being in a better position. We need to acknowledge our privilege, acknowledge being in a better position, and we need to pray for the people who aren't. We need to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah is the only one who can really help, after all. We are tools and we are channels through which help can come, but it's not at the end of the day from us. Alright, just to repeat the most important part of the show so far. We need to change the conversation and reframe the way that we think about suffering, both our own suffering and the suffering of other people. We need to be kind to ourselves and we need to help others, and it is not possible for us to help others when we're depriving ourselves out of guilt. It is also not possible for us to help others when we're thinking that we need to be punished for being in a better position. Alright, so time to start today's sketch. We've used this character in this particular sketch, and we've used this character in previous sketches as well. So often, in fact, that I'm starting to think I should give her a proper name so that you all can recognize her when the sketches begin. Here we go. Her eyes were heavy and her head ached. Another night of not enough sleep had turned the morning into a trial. All she wanted to do was slip back beneath the soft blankets covering her bed and refuse to come out of her cocoon until she felt better. Her stomach turned and she seriously weighed the pros and cons of just leaning over the side of the bed and vomiting on the floor. Her limbs were so heavy and the bathroom was so far. Fire rose in the back of her throat and the burn forced her to her feet. She stumbled her way into the bathroom and leaned over the open toilet, waiting. Moments later, the contents of her stomach were in the toilet and she was struggling to lever herself back upright. The moment she moved, the nausea struck again and she returned to her previous position, waiting. Eventually, it was over and she retreated to the shower, tossing her clothing into the laundry basket, not caring when her pants ended up more on the floor than inside the hamper. She'd take care of it later. She leaned against the wall, resting her cheek against the cool tile and waited for the water to heat up. The coldness held the fog clear from her mind and she let out a sigh. Dragging herself out of the shower was a challenge, but the ring of her alarm was a powerful motivator. She yanked on the first clothes that her fingers touched, mentally thanking her past self for being responsible and hanging outfits up together. She made it out the door in good enough time that her lift hadn't yet arrived, which she considered a personal win. She hated making people wait for her, and it happened far too often lately. She made mindless conversation with the driver, asking after his kids and how his weekend plans had gone, not really listening. Her head had begun to pound again, and her stomach was growling despite the still present nausea. It was not going to be a good day. She knew that already. If she'd been able to, she would have called in sick and fielded the calls from her boss. But she couldn't. Any time off that she took now would directly impact her paycheck at the end of the month, and she simply couldn't afford it. Besides, there were meetings today. It's expensive to live, and it's difficult to live up to expectations. When she thought about the cost of her medicine, her doctor's appointments, the constant leave that she was taking, and the food that she ordered on days when she just couldn't find the energy to cook, it was ridiculous. Perhaps she was better off just stopping the medicine, skipping the appointments, and letting nature do what it would. She still got sick, even with the medicine. It was less often and less violent, but she still got sick. She would continue to get sick. And if they were lucky, they'd figure out a treatment plan for her that would allow her to suppress the symptoms, let her eat and breathe and walk around without looking like a zombie. If they were lucky. Sometimes she thought that it would have been luckier to just have never gone to the doctor in the first place. It would have been less of a waste. She would have been more miserable, but there would be no side effects from her hideously expensive medication that didn't even work. She'd weighed up the pros and cons more than once. She'd be a mess. She'd be in pain. She'd probably have stopped eating entirely. Maybe she'd even be dead. Who knew? But she couldn't shake the feeling that it would be better. The driver was parked outside her office building, and she hadn't even noticed that the car had stopped. She wrapped up in her own private misery. She thanked the driver and gathered up her bags, trying to smile when he made a quick joke. She got to her office and sank down in the comfortable chair of her desk, closing her eyes for a moment and appreciating the way that the chair contoured to her aching muscles. This was why she was working for a soilless corporation. Comfortable chairs and free coffee. And the coffee now made her digestive system kick up a fit. But she got it secondhand by inhaling the aroma jealously whenever her colleagues got their fix. As she did every morning, she texted her mother a greeting and assured her that she wasn't dead. Mom was terrified that someone would kidnap her on the way to work, or that she would end up in an accident, or that some other calamity would occur. And almost immediately, her phone began to buzz, as though her mom had been waiting with it in hand, counting down the seconds until the daughter messaged. Her mom was frighteningly protective. Always had been. Not of health or those sorts of things, but still frighteningly protective over the worries that mom herself identified to be important. She swept the buzzing phone into the drawer of her desk and stuck her earphones in. She would respond to the messages soon enough. She wasn't that horrible of a daughter. But first, there were emails to check, and there was work to do. She hadn't worked at all on the weekend, so she needed to request an extension on her deadline. And this would cause a freak out, no doubt, but there was no helping it. She refused to submit sloppy work, even if it meant that she was late. Her professional pride wouldn't allow it. And as predicted, as soon as she sent the email to her boss, the phone on her desk rang. She grabbed it and answered, trying to inject a sense of false cheeriness into her tone. No need to make the others in the office feel so bad about her bad mood and infect them like she was a big human storm cloud. Pacifying her boss took several minutes, but she got what she wanted in the end. She had to endure several pointed questions in the interim and had to explain far more than she wanted to about her health. But the call ended with her boss telling her to take all the time she needed, so she chalked it up as a win. When she lifted her head again, it was just past one. Time for salon, and probably time for food if she could find something that wouldn't make her feel bad. Salon first, though, well, there was no guarantee that she would manage the salon at all. She'd gotten through the urgent work, so there was no need to eat at her desk while working, and she entertained very hazy thoughts of heading to the close by mall for some food as she made her wudu. Saladan, and riding the high of the energy boosters had given her, she grabbed her purse and made the walk. Her stomach was roaring, but as she scanned the offerings at the food court, she felt a growing sense of disappointment. She couldn't eat here, and she'd forgotten that for a moment. She had felt good enough that her body's needs had slipped from her mind. She turned around and went in search of a grocery store. She would cobble together something and walk back to eat at her desk after all. It was better, really, cheaper, and she'd be able to pick up groceries for home at the same time. She managed to look on the bright side right up until she was sat at her desk and attempting to swallow the meal that she'd made for herself. Salad, not bad at all. And water, that was fine too. But no dessert, no spice. And what felt like no taste whatsoever. She grabbed her phone and began responding to her mother's messages, pausing to whine to her friend about how much she missed pizza. She'd finished her lunch, but there was no satisfaction. Her body was craving salt and grease and bread. Her stupid body that kept puking up everything she gave it. She made sure to sit forward, remembering what her doctor had told her about lying back right after eating. That was a surefire way to get her feeling sick. She would need to remain upright, need to not eat for at least 4 hours before she fell asleep at night, and she would need to eat nothing that would irritate her body. Easier said than done. Aggravating, really. She'd also been warned away from stress, but that particular order had been completely ignored. She couldn't avoid stress. Attempting to avoid the stress would make her stress about all the stress that she hadn't been able to avoid, and then she would explode. Alright, we've reached time for our first break of the show. We will be back soon enough after this short commercial break, and we hope that you will join us then. Assalamu alaikum, and welcome back to Vortex of Truth. Today we're talking about pain and the mistaken conception that pain is a competition that we need to measure, and that you cannot be in pain or experiencing pain or any kind of difficulty really if someone else is experiencing something worse. Unfortunately, that's an idea that's perpetuated a lot when we're talking about gratefulness and how to not be ungrateful for the things that you have. The problem with that is that pain can't really be ignored. It needs to be healed. And so when we tell others that you should be grateful for what you have as almost an admonishment for them complaining about what pain they're experiencing, it doesn't help them, it doesn't help the other person who is experiencing worse pain, and it just really leaves with a lot of guilt and misery. We've looked at a sketch about people's relationships with pain and how they can be unhealthy, and we've also looked at a blog post about them. We are halfway through our sketch. This is a sketch that some of you may recognize because we have used these characters before, and we're continuing to use them because this particular sketch is very nuanced and has been able to apply for several of the issues that we've tackled on Vortex of Truth before. Alright, let's get back to it. She'd been warned away from stress, but that particular order had been completely ignored. She couldn't avoid stress. Attempting to avoid stress would make her stress about all the stress that she hadn't been able to avoid. And then, well, then she would explode. She spent the last half of her lunch break scrolling through social media, jealously looking at pictures of food and smiling faces of friends who'd gone to parties, had had adventures, and who were enjoying their lives fully, while she'd been moaning and groaning all weekend. She hadn't known about any of the plans. No one bothered to invite her anymore because she kept canceling. She knew they thought that she was a flake, knew they thought that she was exaggerating about how sick she could get. She'd even been told once or twice that she was being overdramatic and ungrateful and silly. But she wasn't. She was sick, and every time they told her she was wrong, it made her feel yet more confused. But she knew. Her body had told her, and she knew, and she just had to accept that 23-year-olds did not constantly get too sick to move. Even though she whined over having stomach issues and that everybody dealt with that, she knew that hers were worse. She couldn't just deal with her issues with her actual medical problems by taking over-the-counter medication and moving on, even though that's what people wanted her to do. Not too long ago, she'd believed them. She'd kept going and kept pushing herself and ignoring the signs that something serious was wrong, because she was 23 years old, and she was fortunate. And yes, she was putting her body through a hard time, but she was young. She had thought that she had time to be responsible and recover, and she didn't. Right now, she was paying for it. She'd spent time slogging at work, proving herself, socializing with friends, and enjoying herself with them. But it was too late for her to keep doing that. She had deteriorated so fast that she couldn't hide it any longer. She got sick, she lay in bed, and she could barely eat anything. And her family and friends thought that she was being an ungrateful drama queen. They got impatient, they got angry, and they told her that she needed to toughen up. Her bosses had already called her and wanted to discuss her work performance. No one understood, because she was young and she still looked healthy, even though she wasn't healthy. She looked like she could hold herself together. And maybe if she looked as frail as a grandmother, people would realize that she wasn't being lazy, she wasn't being dramatic, she didn't need to be more grateful. Maybe she just needed to spend a few weeks in a hospital, and that she would get something other than lectures to buck up and brace herself, because the worst was yet to come. She hated it, all of it. She wanted to give up so often. It made her feel worthless, because her brain was there, fighting against the fog and ready to work and ready to make a difference, but her body made up part of her as well. And the illness in her body affected all of her. She couldn't ignore it and isolate herself to just her brain. She had to give in to learn her new limits and be mindful of them, and it was awful. The worst part was that there was no cure, and this, the worst really was yet to come. She had no end date on this period of her life. She had no way of knowing that this was like work, where she would pay her dues and then put in her time, and eventually the hard times would ease up. It was all too likely that her body wouldn't suddenly find a way to be healthy again. She'd never been a marathon runner or a martial artist, but she'd been capable of living her life. She'd gotten sick like everyone else. Maybe even a little more than everyone else. But it was temporary, and she could push through it. She could still be all right. Back then, when she was okay, no one was telling her that she was ungrateful, because she wasn't complaining. And now that something was really wrong, and she was trying to get support, it was always so hard to get anybody to listen. It was ironic. She'd always ruled her body so harshly, and now it was ruling her. She just wanted to give up. But it was scary realizing that she could die. She'd always thought that she'd be old and gray by the end. She'd thought that she would be satisfied with her life, that she would welcome passing the finish line. But she wasn't. There was a lot more for her to do. And yet, she had no control. Life and death didn't belong to her. She had promised herself back then that she would be careful. She would prioritize her health. If she got sick, she would go off to the doctor. And if she got tired, it was time to sleep. And all her loved ones, she would no longer neglect them. And she kept up with that promise when she got sick the first time. She kept up with it for a whole 6 months. And then it was time for her to go in for a checkup, and she looked at the state of her finances, and it didn't seem feasible, and she thought she was okay. She didn't need to keep using up a doctor's time. She'd maybe go next month instead. And the next month, it had been the busiest time of the entire year. She didn't have time. She also didn't have time to cook meals and stick to a strict diet, and she thought it would be okay. She thought that she was just being a little spoiled. And the backsliding began. And now she was paying for it. She had tried to get back to where she originally was when she'd first gotten her health scare. But it was hard. And the understanding that came when she first got sick, it was no longer there. And she understood. She understood why they didn't keep giving her chances. She understood why they were impatient. She really did. Because they weren't her friends. They were her colleagues. And they needed her to do her job so that they could do this. But it was still hard. It's still hard now. And she let herself believe that if she just clung harder and wrote it out, everything would be all right. But it won't. It won't. And it's all too likely that there's nothing she can do now. Because her medication is no miracle. And if she didn't help the medication along, it would stop working. It did stop working after time. She was tired, she was miserable, and she was sick again. How did that happen? She just stopped paying attention to what was going on. She went home and collapsed into bed that night. Chores not done. House not clean. Lunch not ready. And then she woke up in the middle of the night with her throat on fire and a weight on her chest. She leaned over hurriedly, burping as gas pushed its way out of her throat. She felt horrible. When it was all over, she was drained, and she'd lost a good hour of sleeping time. She felt like a rotten-out sponge, and she'd need to get up in 3 hours for work. Vague ideas of staying awake throughout the night to make sure that she didn't miss her alarms were quickly eclipsed by a blanket of exhaustion, and she shut her eyes almost without meaning to. When she woke up the next morning, she did not want to get up. But she knew that she had to go to work. She had to live up to expectations, and she had to fulfill her commitments. Both things that she'd been told by well-meaning older people who just thought that she was making up a little bit of it, being soft, not like their generation, who walked uphill both ways to work in the morning. They didn't understand. Maybe they couldn't understand. She sat in a chair for pleasure, not caring, even as a voice in her head sounded an awful lot like her grandmother took her to task for her laziness. If she'd attempted to stand up and pray, she would have given up less than halfway into the prayer. And so she was going to do things her way. She was going to sit down. Her nose was stuffy from allergies, to the pollen from all the greenery that surrounded her apartment, and her eyes were itchy. Of course, that too would happen today. She was frustrated and overtired and not nice at all at work. She just wanted a quiet day, but today was the day that all of her colleagues wanted to talk. Just one quiet day, that was all that she wanted. And she wanted to scream when she kept coming in. Her head began to throb. And it was worse when her mother called her and reminded her about a cousin's wedding that was coming up. And then reminded her that she could not be sick when she came home because it would spoil everything. Not just the cousin's weddings, but her mother's plans as well. She was to bundle up tight and not let herself get any more ill. If only it was that easy. If only it was that easy. All right, we've reached time for our last break for today's show. We hope that you'll join us again after the very short commercial break. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum, everyone, and welcome to the very last segment of today's show. My name is Nirmith Ravavi, and I'm so delighted that some of you joined us on this Friday afternoon. As we mentioned previously, today we were discussing the fairly sensitive topic of pain and why people seem to think that some pain is invalid and how ungratefulness can impact on people who are in pain and make it far more difficult for them to heal themselves. As we said very early on in the program, we're not encouraging or advocating for people to focus on their own pain to the exclusion of everything and everyone else in the world. Instead, we're trying to address the mentality that if someone else is in more pain, you are not then allowed to feel your own pain, and somehow your pain is less valid than it was before that you knew someone else is in more pain. It's a very damaging idea, and it's a very damaging thing to push onto someone else who is sick and might also be feeling a little bit guilty about what they cannot accomplish or really about anything. And in any case, pain, as we said earlier, is not a competition. There's no winning in a journey of pain. There's no use in saying, okay, I have it worse than you. You might do, but is it really that great for you to not be compassionate to somebody else who's also in pain? I understand why we try to remind people to not be ungrateful, but this is not the right arena, really, sometimes, to be talking about that. No one who is in pain needs to be reminded to be grateful, because that's not the right time. They're not going to feel more grateful. They're going to feel guilty, and guilt is not helpful when it comes to healing. As we said earlier, there will always be someone else who is in more pain than you are. But that doesn't magically make you better. It doesn't heal whatever is hurting you. It's incredibly counterproductive to tell people or to try and shame people when they're talking about their pain and remind them that other people are in more pain and other people are dying and other people are being oppressed. It's true, but your tests and your pain are also valid. And I don't really think that anybody who's experiencing the kind of pain that you're talking about when you're reminding those who are in less pain would actually think, yeah, okay, don't feel your own pain and you should feel guilty because I'm in more pain. Those who are in pain understand how all-consuming it can be and how miserable you can be as a result of it, and therefore would be kind and compassionate. Again, pain is hard to deal with, and being kind and compassionate to others and to yourself too is vital in order to be able to heal and recover. Our sketch today looked at what happens when you are not allowed to heal and recover. And today we looked at first a blog post and then a sketch. The blog post entitled Sickness and was about an unhealthy relationship with oneself, an unhealthy relationship with one's own weakness and sickness. As we said, partially because of the lack of productivity and because people are meant to project the idea that everything is all right with them. So, as we said, the idea that someone else has it worse and can still work and do amazing things makes you feel incredibly guilty about your own suffering. But we need to fix that. We need to reframe the way that we think about suffering, about our own suffering and other people's suffering. We need to think about the person who is still being oppressed and has to work. We need to make dua that Allah make it easy for them, and we need to say Alhamdulillah for being able to be kind to our own bodies and being able to allow them to heal. As we've always said, our bodies have rights over us, and so we need to respect those. We need to change the conversation. We also need to help one another, of course. We need to support one another, but suffering because someone else is suffering, to deprive yourself because you feel guilty, is not helpful. What's helpful is raising awareness, is giving in charity, is trying to find out from that individual who is worse off than you are what they need from you to get better. All right, and then we had today's sketch, a sketch that some of you might have recognized because it was a sketch that we've used previously, about a woman who has found that she has some sort of illness that no one can really identify quite yet. She's still in the process of diagnosis, and it's been very difficult for her to get compassion from other people and even be compassionate towards herself because of the guilt that she feels. Because while she is sick, she's able to function, sort of. She's able to survive. She's not able to thrive, and she's not happy or healthy by any means of the word. But because she's been socialized to think that other people have it worse, she's not kind to herself. And therefore, she's spending time at work miserable. She's angry. She's upset. She's perhaps ruining her relationships with her colleagues and her parents and everyone else around her because she's just so frustrated and she can't get anyone else to understand. And that's really quite sad. We finished today's sketch, but let's go back to right at the end of it where our character's mother has told her something quite frustrating, and that is this. That if she gets sick at her cousin's wedding, which she will be attending soon, it would spoil everything. Here we go. Her mom reminded her that she could not be sick when she came home. It would spoil everything, not just the cousin's wedding and wedding events, but mom's plans as well, and that she was to bundle up tight and not let herself get any more ill. That kind of mentality and that kind of advice is not uncommon when people are ill. Just do something quick and easy to make yourself feel better. That's also quite frustrating because the person who is sick is not stupid, we don't think, and is trying to do everything they possibly can to feel better. And it's always very frustrating when you know that it's not quite so simple as just bundling up or taking a tablet or whatever it is to feel better. And it's not always deliberate on the part of the person who's saying the insensitive thing to be insensitive, but we're not really taught to be sensitive with one another, are we? We're not really taught that we need to be kind and compassionate because we, ourselves, when we're sick, are told, you know, there are people who have it worse. There are people who don't have water, or there are people who don't have the luxury of knowing that they'll be alive tomorrow morning, or anything, really. There are people who are starving. There are people who... There's all sorts of horrible things going on in the world, so really the list is almost endless. We ourselves, when we see ourselves saying things that are insensitive or upsetting, need to be the ones to take the initiative and break the cycle. We need to be compassionate. Maybe other people are not compassionate to us, but when we see them in the situation that we used to be in, maybe they're now the sick ones, we need to be the bigger people and not perpetuate the cycle of being insensitive about illness. We need to feel that compassion and say, if you're ill, go home, heal yourself. We need to be the ones to make the change. As it was said, be the change that you wish to see in the world. And that's the only way, really, that we're going to arrive in a space where we honor and understand the needs of our bodies, and we honor and understand the rights that our bodies have over us. As we said, in Islam, we are taught that our bodies should be taken care of, and there's no way that you're going to be taking care of your body by just forcing it to keep going when you're ill. You might not be collapsing on the floor or dying, but if you let things continue on to be terrible and to get worse, it's going to be you in that position soon enough. People get sick, and then if they don't take care of themselves, it gets you much, much worse. Think of going to the dentist, or rather not going to the dentist for a cavity and then ending up having to go for a root canal. There's always wisdom in being kind and compassionate, and so we need to be mindful of that, not just for people who seem to have it worse, people who are begging on the street or who have no money or who are homeless or who are disabled, anything like that. But everybody, even if somebody seems to be in a better position than you are, you have no idea what's going on behind closed doors. You have a very limited view into that other people's life. That other person's life, rather. You have a very limited view into anyone else's life. And so we should always just be mindful, and we should not be perpetuating the cycle of misconception that pain is a competition, because it isn't. No one benefits from the idea that one person is more entitled to sympathy and empathy. And we really, really need to address that. So I urge you to be kind to yourself when you're sick, and to be kind to others when they're sick, even if you might think that they're whining a bit. And unfortunately, that is all that we have time for today. We will be back next Friday, inshallah, with a new sketch and commentary, and we hope that you will join us then. As always, if you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you are welcome to get in touch with me, Niamat Rababi, at theimperfectmuslimablog@gmail.com or under the handles theimperfectmuslima or Niamat Rababi on all forms of social media. Assalamu alaikum.